This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. The program, as always, being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. A big program, of course, forthcoming on a Friday. We'll break down Steelers-Bengals. Steelers opting to sit this one out in terms of playing defense. We'll talk about that. We'll review the night that was still a profitable night. A little up. Ticked off. We'll get into it, but it was a profitable night. I guess we can't complain too much about that. We'll also chop it up with our guy, Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN, see what he has cooking for this week in college football. He's got props and Jake Tribby, not really a prop guy. He's more of a DFS guy of FantasyPoints.com. Actually crushed it last week with his recos, and he's back. He's going to be taking over for our guy, Scott Barrett, who writes an article that is just painfully long, and it takes him about the same time as it takes me to write my big Sunday article, which is 39 hours. But Jake Tribby is your 2022 Fantasy Sports Writer Association Football Writer of the Year. So he has received accolades in the industry, even though he's a very young man. I'm not that young, but I'm here for 30 plus years in this business, and I am kind of a prop guy, right? So that's what we do here, and I've got my Friday props. I haven't reminded people of this this year, I guess, but the first person on earth to register the domain playerprops.com right here. Unfortunately, I was 10 years too early and I let it go. But it is kind of ironical that here I am doing a show called Prop Points, because 20 years ago, you would have asked me, I would have been like, player props are going to take over. Again, a decade too early, but it's starting to feel like the player props are taking over. Also, speaking of this program, Prop Points, make sure you download the podcast for the show on Apple or Spotify, wherever you get your pods. Well, the Cincinnati Bengals get it done thanks to Bro Flacco, 33-31. Let's start with the betting record, the results. A little bit of a frustrating day, but I did mention on that Kenny Gainwell prop, I said, look, we're doing a show called Prop Points here. You know, this is one, like, if you're feeling frisky, here it is. I think he'll hit it. But I did kind of try to intimate, like, yeah, this is, we're getting a little out of control here with the prop. Now, in my defense, my point was, and I actually said this to the grinder, Tom Brawley, I believe on SiriusXM on Thursday morning. I'm like, look, a good schematical matchup. I think he's going to pop off like a 9-11-yard run. And then all we need is like three or four more carries. 11-yard run. I think it was his first carry or second, and they don't give him any work. So I don't know what the hell happened there. DK Metcalf, come on, man. DK now stands for didn't cover with a K on the cover. 58.5, had that ball taken away from him, one of Aaron Rodgers' interceptions, and we would have hit the prop if DK would have fought a little harder. Come on, bro. We're betting on you. We're banking on you here. But who saw Pat Freiermuth coming? Not I, although I do have loads of Pat Freiermuth in best ball. I have a best ball team that scored 99 points last night. That is absurd. I believe it was Jamar Chase, Patty Freiermuth, Rodgers, a little Jalen Warren action as well. But I am especially proud of, and we'll get to Noah Fant in a moment, but I am especially proud of, you know, all the hipsters out there, all the data nerds, if you will, like our own Ryan Heath. I say that as a term of endearment. They were all on Darnell Washington, and I'm like, no. You're not going to catch the defense by surprise this time, and we'll go in with Janu. I think the football god smiled down upon me on that because I believe we won that Janu prop by 1 yard. We do not emerge victorious on Bro Flacco, but yesterday's show was, I mean, it was all in on Noah Fant. It was the Noah Fant flag plant, and despite, this is completely absurd, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins got 33 targets. I mean, some duos go a month without hitting that number, so it's like almost an edict was handed down, or Bro Flacco. And I saw the interview after the game with his thick South Jersey accent. I like these guys. All right. But anywho, he's just talking about how great these guys are. I mean, he did not work with great receivers, let's be honest, wideouts at least, in a Baltimore. And he's like, yeah, I'm throwing to these dudes. Despite that, the hashtag analysis and the data, it worked with Noah Fant. Dude only got 4 targets, caught all 4, hit the catch prop, hit the yardage prop. We had 1 tutty prop, hit the tutty prop at plus 450. But what really sticks in my craw is this is the second Thursday or Monday night game in a row where we just missed it. And we double dipped on Fant and Ertz on Monday, nailed it. But Ertz, we came 7 yards shy of that Monday night special at, like, I don't know, I think it was like plus 290 or something. And then Santa Claus, we thought he'd get to 50, 7 yards shy. I mean, if you don't throw 33 targets to the wideouts, we get there at plus 304. So we were this close to absolutely crushing. We'll take it. Overall, it still was a profitable week, doing a little bit better on the tutty props. I do have 2 touchdown props, just 2. We dug ourselves a little bit of a hole, but that Noah Fant prop, by the way, we just made up for 4 losses on that puppy. But I do have 2 obscure high payoff tight end targets here, touchdown props that I'll play. Sorry about that. All right. Otherwise, news and notes. I really talked quite a bit here, so I'll go through the headlines here. I do have my printout of all the key injuries that we'll be looking for. Some of these we don't know yet. It's 1:07 Eastern, so we're not exactly sure. But the Rams have ruled out Puka Nacua for the game. Tutu Atwell will play, though. Jordan Whittingham will be the main replacement. I am in on a Kyren Williams prop, full disclosure, which is somewhat related to this news here with no Puka. Spoiler alert, it's a receiving prop. Brian Schottenheimer, the football coach of the Dallas Cowboys, announced today Trayvon Diggs suffered a concussion today. It seems like that's been happening a lot, guys getting concussed in practice. Didn't Charvarius Ward do that last week? Terry McLaurin will not go. I thought we were trending toward a return. So I don't know about Noah Brown. But I do know that DK or Debo Samuel was still out of practice. So that'll be interesting. They'll need Zach Ertz again. I should have went in on a Zach Ertz prop, quite frankly, but they will need him again. No Garrett Wilson. Well, it's not official yet. He is doubtful. That usually means 90% chance that you're out. Aaron Glenn, I mean, what are we doing here? He wants to win, but I wouldn't risk your franchise wide receiver playing with a terrible quarterback in Justin Fields. No Jacoby Myers at practice, full disclosure, somewhat related. I am in on a Trey Tucker prop. I've given up on Jacoby Myers, basically. I think Trey Tucker is the number one receiver for Geno Smith. Basically, without Brock Bowers, who won't play this week. I don't think that's official, but they have a bye next week. Quentin Johnston dealing with that hammy, limited on Thursday, so I'm sure he's trending toward playing. Ian Rappaport also reporting that Lamar Jackson expected to be back for the Ravens Week 8 game. Of course he is. Otherwise, here's some quick ones. I don't know, Devin Lloyd, Jaguar linebacker, out of practice. I have it. Check the absolute latest, but that could help Kyren Williams for sure. Alvin Kamara still limited. Good matchup, though, for him. DeAndre Swift was limited. Stephon Diggs was limited. I was going to take a Diggs prop, but I got to be ultra conservative. If you're limited on the injury report, I'm not taking your prop. I'm never, ever, this is a solemn promise, taking another Calvin Ridley prop as long as I'm on this earth. He did not practice today, though, FYI. No LeJarius Sneed. They might get Tavondre Sweat back, which wouldn't be, I guess, warm and fuzzy news there for New England. Massive dude there. Storm Duck is back for Miami. Terrible weather game. In that game, we'll see about Jack Conklin. I don't think Njoku is going to play. Harold Fannin. I almost said Harold Landry because he plays for the Patriots. But Harold Fannin should do very well in this game against Miami if the weather is not, you know, completely craptastic. Rashee Rice, full practice. Really wanted to go with a Rashee Rice prop, but I held off. A bunch of Viking guys and a lot of injuries in that Viking game. Quinnell Mitchell is going to go. But if you're wondering about the Eagles, Blake Cashman, Jonathan Grenard, and Van Ginkel, all limited, maybe trending toward playing. Any other injuries of note that are, looks like Kenny Moore is going to come back. No Charvarius Ward. That's good news for the Chargers. Trey Pipkins may not play there at right tackle for the Chargers. Doesn't look good for Darius Slayton as well. I think we covered them all. It's a little difficult assignment here on a Friday. The injury information is coming fast and furious, no doubt about it. We'll talk college football. We'll pivot over there on the other side. Our guy Ben Stevens with some propage for this weekend's action, mostly obviously tomorrow. This is a Friday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN.
Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's one of the best times of the year to be a bettor. Football's rolling, MLB playoffs heating up, hockey's back, NBA tip-off is next week. VSiN Pro gives you everything you need to win across every sport. Daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus our new NBA betting guide with previews of every team, best bets, player props, live betting strategies. Start betting smarter today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And welcome back to this Friday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, and we go to the progressive guest line. Without any further ado, Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday, right here on VSiN, obviously covering the college game, at Ben Scott Stevens on the X machine. And you are ready to go, Ben, with propage in hand, a couple of game picks. How's it going?
I'm doing well, John. Thank you for having me as always. Yep, we've got some game picks for this week. We got five ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts during this week, 8 slate of college football, the most so far in this season. Whatever you need, I'm here, hopefully to deliver for college football this weekend.
Number one on your list, Emmett Johnson, Nebraska, running back, 95-plus rushing yards. I'm looking over the game logs. He seems to do well in wins, like last week, 21 carries, 176, 8.4 YPC. So what do you see here with Emmett Johnson in this matchup?
Yeah, John, just to note, this game is tonight in Minneapolis, a Big Ten affair on a Friday between a Nebraska team who is now ranked, hoping to snap a 5-game losing skid against the Golden Gophers. Emmett Johnson's production this year is one angle to attack. As you mentioned, the 95-plus had a -116 price on DraftKings. He is the Big Ten's second-leading rusher entering week number 8. 650 total rushing yards so far this season. He has had 65 in every game for the Huskers this year, 108-plus in 3 of the 6 for Nebraska. but it's also the personal feelings that Emmett Johnson, a native of Minneapolis, has for his hometown team. He has circled this game since before the year got started. He knew exactly when it was. Week 8, October 17th, on a Friday evening in the Twin Cities. I think Emmett Johnson puts on display why he feels slightly miffed that he wasn't recruited out of high school by the Golden Gophers. And this Nebraska offense this year has been very explosive, John, with Dana Holgorsen calling the plays. I think Emmett Johnson has a big night in Minneapolis. 95-plus rushing yards is the way I would approach it.
Yeah, we're not messing around with, like, highly motivated revenge games like Rico Dowdle this past weekend. Let's move on to Nate Shepard of Duke. I was thinking, like, can I name a Duke running back in the NFL? The answer is no. Maybe you can, but I see here very similar. Gets the ball and produces in wins. Dude ran for a buck 68 2 weeks ago against Syracuse, 91 last week against Cal. You like, though, 71 plus rushing yards. What do you see there?
Yeah, really big game tomorrow, John, starting at noon Eastern time between two undefeated teams in the ACC, the 3-0 Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, number 12 in the country, a slight road underdog in Durham in Wallace Wade against Duke. Both of these teams, lethal on the ground, lethal through the offense. Both quarterbacks in Duke's Darian Mensah and Georgia Tech's Haynes King have been incredibly productive this year. But one of the angles of approach is the Blue Devils on the ground. Darian Mensah has been throwing the ball for a ton, 265 plus in all six games in his first year in Durham. But we have seen Nate Shepard evolve in this offense as well. You mentioned the yardage the last 2 weeks. This is a Georgia Tech defense that in the past few years under Tyler Santucci had improved so much in their physicality up front. But it's a new DC in play. Get in now that Santucci is coaching with the Baltimore Ravens. So I expect Nate Shepard to attack where Georgia Tech has been a little bit weak. They allowed a buck 68 a few weeks ago on the ground to Virginia Tech, more than 200 against Wake Forest about three Saturdays ago as well. So Nate Shepard, the Duke running back, 71 plus rushing yards tomorrow at home in a huge game against the Jackets.
Ben Stevens on the line with us here, co-host of Live Bet Saturday, I believe, with our guy Dustin Sweetelson, right? Is that correct? And you're on the X Machine at Ben Scott Stevens. I've actually worked with Dustin, you know, a decade plus ago, way, way back in the day over at Sirius XM. But next up on your list here, Damond Williams, Washington, the quarterback, 224 plus yards. I see my man threw for 402 against Rutgers last week. Probably a good sign too. Ohio State, they only scored 6 points, yet he still did throw for 173. So what do you see here with Williams?
And was very proficient in that game as well, John. Not many incompletions against the nation's best defense. And outside of that game, Damond Williams has been sensational this year. You mentioned the 402 last week against Rutgers. Also had a buck 36 on the ground. We have never seen an FBS quarterback put up a game with those statistics and multiple passing and rushing touchdowns in the history of the sport. And there's still a certain feel around this maize and blue defense that they are the elite defense that won a national championship 2 years ago in 2023, when basically nobody could throw for more than 200 yards against this Michigan secondary. It's a very different scheme right now. And against that top end competition at the quarterback spot, where Michigan has seen a few times this year, Oklahoma's John Mateer, Nebraska's Dylan Raiola last week on the road in L.A. against USC's Jaden Maiava. All three of those quarterbacks, John, at least 265 passing yards through the air. I'm not sure Damond Williams throws for 300 or 400 once again against this Michigan team in what is going to be a great game tomorrow in the Big House. But I think you're still getting a slightly discounted number on one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten, assuming this Michigan defense is as strong as it was a few years ago. It's not nearly as good. 224 plus for Damond Williams, the Washington quarterback tomorrow.
I see you've got a couple of totals here to finish off the segment. A couple of overs. Number 5, Ole Miss at number 9, Georgia. Georgia Bulldogs are 5-1. I guess, still alive. They're ninth in the polls. But, you know, I think I've told you I moved to Southern Georgia, and I'm in Georgia Bulldog country. In fact, I think next week they're playing Florida really soon. There'll be a big pep rally not far at all from me, and I'll be watching 5,000 intoxicated Georgia students on the beach just for fun. But I can tell you this, they're not that excited about the Bulldogs down here this year. But you like the over 54.5.
And maybe one of those reasons, John, is because UGA's defense has not necessarily lived up to the standard of a Kirby Smart defense in his decade plus now in Athens. And that's one of the reasons I like points tomorrow. This total screeching up, by the way, last check, 56.5. I would still get in while the getting is good. Georgia has allowed a ton of passing yardage against that secondary this year. We saw Ty Simpson throw for 276 and multiple touchdowns in the loss between the hedges against Alabama, even in the overtime victory on Rocky Top against Tennessee. Joey Aguilar put up more than 370 through the air and 4 passing touchdowns. Trinidad Chambliss, the new quarterback for Ole Miss, has been lethal this year. 300 plus in 3 of his 4. And I expect Ole Miss to be able to run the football and move it through the air as well. But Ole Miss has struggled to defend the run, which is where I still trust this Georgia offense more than most. So I think both sides can add it up on the scoreboard, leading to the total trending to the over. It is working its way up. I would still get in as quickly as you can on this Friday afternoon for the over between the Dogs and the Reps.
And then finally, number 23, Utah at number 15, BYU. You like the over again here at minus 105, 49.5.
John, I think this game kind of reflects what the standard has been for both of these teams average-wise, both allowing fewer than 15 points per game, two of the top 12 scoring defenses in college football. But when you look at BYU's calling card this year, now in 3 Big 12 games for the Cougars, they've allowed at least 21 points. And this Utah offense has scored 40-plus against 3 of their 4 power conference competition, something Utah had not done, scored at least 40 points against a power conference foe since the start of 2023. They've already done it 3 times this year. I think Devin Dampier in this Utes offense puts up some points, and Utah's weakness defensively, defending the run, allowing more than 142 yards per game. That's where the backfield for BYU of Bear Bachmeyer and LJ Martin have success as well. I don't think it's a high-scoring shootout by any means tomorrow night in Provo, but 50-plus points, I think we can get there.
Ben Stevens, check him out, the co-host of Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN. Good luck with all the plays. We'll follow you on the X Machine at Ben Scott Stevens. And I will have my picks on the other side. But first, VSiN Pro subscribers now have exclusive access to our new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the same trusted brand behind Elite Soccer Analytics in the UK. Data-driven projections for QBs, wide receivers, running backs, all the good stuff. Starting Tuesday, for the start of the NBA season, VSiN is offering a free preview. Check it out, VSiN.com/props. That's VSIN.com/props. Official picks next.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. A Friday edition of Prop Points continues right now. I'm John Hansen, and apparently I'm looking to get the hell out of here for the weekend because I skipped the next segment and previewed the propage, which will be forthcoming in the following segment after we chop it up with our guy Jake Tribby, NFL DFS UFL analyst, staff writer over at Fantasy Points on the X Machine at Jake Tribby, your FSWA football writer of the year in 2022. I'll brag for you there, Jake. Good stuff last week, and let's get right into it, sir, because this is a little gutsy given the news that Terry McLaurin is not going to play. You just reminded me that Noah Brown was just placed on IR. So I guess you're feeling good about Chris Moore, who, by the way, not for nothing, I know that's not the case, but I'm reporting that Chris Moore's been in the NFL since the 90s. I know it's not the case, but it does seem like he's been around for 18 years. Yet you're still in on Jaden Daniels here for DFS. Obviously, the Cowboys have of issues defending the forward pass and no Trayvon Diggs. But what do you have on Daniels?
Yeah, so really this just comes down to matchup and game environment. The Cowboys are the single softest schedule-adjusted matchup for opposing quarterbacks. No defense is allowing more passing yards per game, a higher yards per attempt, or a higher passer rating than Dallas. Like you just noted, Trayvon Diggs is out. Also, an incredible game environment. Game total is 54.5. That's 6 points higher than the next best game on the main slate. Jaden Daniels is a guy who we were paying $7,800 for in week 17 of last season. This week we get him at just $6,900. And, you know, in some ways, these wide receiver injuries are a bit of a blessing. There isn't a ton of value on this slate. So we get Chris Moore at minimum price. We get guys like Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey who are now viable punts. And Zach Ertz is looking pretty decent as a tight end as well. So, you know, if you want to fit in, you know, a George Pickens and a Javonte Williams into your lineup, one of the best ways to do that is to play a Jaden Daniels with one of his cheap pass catchers. And this is, like I said, just a game that we really want to target this week.
One of the things that I didn't love about DFS is, you know, the chalkiness. And you got Quinshon Judkins on your list here, 6,000. I guess chalky or not, sometimes it's just too good to pass up. It's like, if you don't join the masses, then you'll lose. Is that kind of you can't beat them, join them situation? I asked our guys, Brett Whitefield and Graham Barfield, to pick an over and under on Judkins this week, and I set the line at $1.50. But what do you see here otherwise with Quinshon Judkins?
Yeah, I think especially at the running back position, it's often pretty wise to lean into some of these chalkier plays because the volume is just so projectable. And I generally prefer to get a little bit different at wide receiver, a position that's typically more volatile. And, you know, when it comes to Quinshon Judkins, he's only 6,000. And, you know, one of the craziest things about this setup for Quinshon this week is that the Browns are 2.5-point favorites against Miami. And Judkins likely the biggest beneficiary of their pillow soft matchup with Miami, who's allowed the most schedule-adjusted rushing production to opposing running backs. Over the last 3 weeks, Judkins has averaged 15.5 expected fantasy points per game. That would effectively tie Jahmyr Gibbs and Ashton Jeanty over the full season, and we'd be clamoring to play Jeanty and Gibbs at more expensive price tags in this exact spot. Right. So I'm happy to jam Judkins. Another interesting thing about this game is that there are pretty significant weather concerns. So I was just talking to Chris Weck, who leads our projections over at Fantasy Points, and he's knocked down the Browns' pass rate in this game pretty significantly, which is another angle that really benefits Quinshon Judkins.
How about this one? Quinshon Judkins has played only 13 snaps with a lead this year. And that's kind of crazy because over the last 5 weeks, he's seventh in rushing yards. Yet, you know, a volume back, you know, 13 snaps with a lead. I mean, that's pretty absurd there. Our guy, Jake Tribby, on the X Machine at Jake Tribby, over at Fantasy Points, doing the heavy lifting on DFS, along with our guy, Scott Barrett. Well, here it is. We've been waiting for Rashee Rice. I didn't do the prop. It's very, very doable at 62.5. I do expect him to catch 5-6 balls at minimum, but I'm not doing the prop. I know it's a good schematic matchup, but it's a little different in terms of DFS. He's at 5,600. I mean, in a month, he could be, you know, 2,500 more expensive, right? So what do you see here with Rashee Rice?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I mentioned, there aren't a ton of values on this slate we can feel really comfortable with, but Rashee Rice is arguably the only elite must-play value on the board in week 7. Over his last 9 fully healthy regular season games, he's averaged 20.3 DraftKings fantasy points per game. That would rank second among slate eligible wide receivers behind only George Pickens, and 9.4 targets per game. That would also rank second behind only Chris Olave. He's also playing in the offense with the highest implied team total on the slate. Chiefs are implied for 28.5 points here. I really think someone at DraftKings should maybe be fired for pricing him as the wide receiver 16 this week, because he's pretty close to a lock button play in my eyes. He's projecting around the industry for around 30% ownership. And I mean, he might make his way into all my lineups. This is just an incredible value for a guy, like you said, who I think will definitely be over 7,000 in a couple weeks.
If there were no problems with Rashee Rice this summer in a fantasy draft, typical 12-teamer, would you take him in the first round? I said he'd definitely be in the top 15 for me. I think he'd probably be right there on that hook.
Yeah, that's that'd be my exact answer too. Probably right at that 1-2 turn, pick 11, pick 12 is where I'd be looking to take Rashee Rice if we weren't worried about that suspension.
One thing that we learned last week is, of course, we had the data, is that Mason Taylor, forget it, against a man-heavy defense like they faced last week against Denver. I actually went in on a Josh Reynolds prop, which easily hit. I'm mad at myself for not taking the under. And when I saw what we're looking at this week with Mason Taylor, granted, we know that Justin Fields stinks. I'm like, oh, I'm in. But it's a bigger number at 41.5. It's kind of a big number here. But I see you are in on Mason Taylor, 3,400. I totally see it. But what do you see with the matchup?
Yeah, the price is pretty great here for Taylor. You know, he hit 65 receiving yards in two of his last three games, cleared a 25% target share twice. That was with Garrett Wilson, who ranks top three in target share and is out this week. So, you know, these Garrett Wilson targets need to go somewhere. Mason Taylor draws a top three schedule-adjusted matchup. And like you mentioned, a terrific schematic matchup. Panthers have deployed cover three, the fourth most often this season, on about 40% of opposing dropbacks. Mason Taylor leads the Jets in receiving yards against cover three this year, actually 12 more yards than Garrett Wilson. Also sees a solid 12% boost to his targets per route run against cover three compared to other shells. He's competing with guys like Josh Reynolds, Arian Smith, and Tyler Johnson for targets against the pass funnel Panthers defense. You know, I think one of the more underrated matchup notes this season is that the Panthers run defense has actually been pretty great. They were a run defense we were targeting the last couple years. This year, Panthers run defense has been pretty strong. It's been pushing their opponents to pass. Obviously, the Jets want to be run heavy, but when they do pass, it's pretty easy to see these targets going to Mason Taylor given the matchup.
Oh, I'm glad. Well, I'm not glad because it'll probably hit, but I was kicking the tires on a Breece Hall prop, the under. I did win that last week easily, but I'm a little concerned about it because it is the Panthers. But Breece Hall, I think it's like upper 60s. Would you venture there or just let me play my Mason Taylor and be done with it? Because Breece Hall, Mr. Explosive Run, he could always rip one off, which was my concern last week. Did not happen, but to your point, it's a nasty schematic matchup for Breece Hall.
Yeah. I think, you know, what you said is the best argument overall for Breece Hall. He's at 6,300 this week. And yeah, you could always get those long runs there. He did have a season high 22 carries last week. So the rushing volume should be there. The routes really haven't been there. Isaiah Davis has been stealing routes. And, you know, I think what's steering me away from Breece Hall this week more than anything is that at least right now, he's projecting to be one of, if not the most popular running back on the slate. And I think there are plenty of running back plays who are better than Breece this week. So, you know, I'm fine with Breece Hall, but if he's going to be 30% owned, I'll certainly be under the field.
Well, you know what? Not to put you on the spot, but let me throw one out at you. One running back that I'm going to be in on officially in about 7 minutes, J.K. Dobbins. He seems to be the clear lead back, and they're kind of moving toward R.J. Harvey more in the passing attack. That's a good matchup for Dobbins.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, 100 rushing yards or 60-plus and a touchdown in five of his last six games. Dominated the backfield in carries last week, 12 more than any other running backs. I think it's fair to question the upside here, but you know the matchup is nice. Giants are giving up the eighth most schedule-adjusted rushing fantasy points per game. Your big risk with Dobbins, I think, is that you know if this ends up being a blowout, you're going to see a bit more R.J. Harvey like we saw against Cincinnati a few weeks back. Right.
I did not even tee Jake up on that. He had the data. All we need is 59 yards. So I think we will get there. And you'll get there if you follow Jake on Twitter at Jake Tribby. Great stuff, Jake. Good luck with all the plays. And when we return, I will, in fact, make official picks like J.K. Dobbins over next here on Prop Points.
Points with the guru, John Hansen on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment here on a Friday. This is when we pop out the propage. Weird week I've got 10. I've got a best bet. We have a perfect record to maintain, 6-0 on the best bets. Not bragging. I don't want to anger the football gods, but, you know, we got to pop it out at the end of the show, which we will. It was not easy really to find 10 props that I'm like feeling really a lot of conviction, quite frankly. So, you know, I focused on role, schematic matchups, and expected game flow. Last week, I thought I would get cute and try and project a role with that Hassan Haskins. I'm not messing around like that this week here. I'm going with sure roles, massive roles that I'm completely confident in, and a lot of the good schematical matchups. We'll start with the one we were in on yesterday. It was so important, we had to bust out the megaphone. So if I bust out the megaphone mid-show during the week, it's because I want to officially plant a flag on something like Quinshon Judkins over 89.5 rushing yards. Our guy Tom Brawley wanted it at, you know, 82 or 81, and it was kind of scared off. Well, guess what? Last I checked, this puppy's up to 95.5. So we're all sharing a brain here, thinking the weather is going to be a factor. As I mentioned with Jake Tribby, Judkins seventh in the NFL with 284 yards rushing the last 5 weeks, 4.6 yards per carry. Yet somehow he's only played 13 snaps with a lead. 2 weeks ago, I lost this prop last week, by the way, but part of the analysis was even when they're losing, they're still handing the ball off. Pittsburgh completely took them out. That won't happen here, and they are 2.5 home favorites in a nasty weather game against a Miami defense that's been a top five run funnel because they're one of the worst run defenses and tackling teams you've ever seen. So we're good. We're running for 100 here, barring an injury, because they have, by the way, given up 330 on the ground to two guys that no one drafted this past year. Maybe they drafted Rico Dowdle, but Kamani Vidal and Rico Dowdle, 330 in this matchup the last 2 weeks. Next up, again, I'm going with a short thing here like Bijan Robinson. We won a prop on Monday, I believe, on that one run. Well, at least we won 80% of it on that one run, but over 77.5, that run Monday night was longer than that, right? It was an 80-yarder. The Niners give up the eighth highest yards per carry average against zone concept runs, 4.5 yards per carry, but the 10th lowest on man and gap concept runs. 74.5% of Bijan's runs come on those zone concept runs. He's averaging 6.6 yards per carry on those runs, tops in the NFL. Meanwhile, Tyler Algier has a 44% success rate on those runs, which ranks only 29th out of 50 running backs with at least 25 carries. Niners, they just lost Fred Warner. You can do anything on them, basically. You can throw on them. You can run on them. And Bijan, of course, he's leading Algier in snap share and carry share. Not for nothing, but the Niners overall give up the 10th most adjusted yards before contact and the 12th most rushing yards. Also the 7th fewest receiving yards, by the way, which all kind of lines up for Bijan to get it done on the ground. Might not go nuts in the passing attack. J.K. Dobbins will not go nuts in the passing attack because he has now fallen below two receptions in 5 straight games, has J.K. He has, in his last 4, only 3 catches for 9 yards. I bring this up because it's all about early downs and running the rock for J.K. Dobbins. You know, a lot of people thought early in the year, based on it being a veteran and good in pass pro, that he would get a lot of the third down reps and passing down reps. Not really. That's kind of been RJ Harvey. Denver is a 7-point home favorite. Our offensive line, defensive line matchup tool over at Fantasy Points has Dobbins and the Broncos with the second best rushing grade on the board this week. The Broncos have generated the 3rd most adjusted yards before contact per attempt. They face a giant defense, giving up the 7th most. It's also this is the critical part, a great schematic matchup for for JK. A lot of initials out here, DK, JK. But 57% of his rushing attempts have come on man and gap concepts. That's the sixth most. The Giants are allowing the most, 6.1 yards per carry, and the sixth highest success rate on those opposing man or gap runs. He also has a 7.7 explosive run rate, does Dobbins. That's the 10th best in the league. And over the last 3 weeks, the Giants have given up the fourth highest explosive run rate in the NFL. So we're going over 59 yards, or we're getting to 59. Kind of what I'm trying to do here is make it so it's not my fault if these don't hit, because look at these data points. They're beautiful. Next up, Chris Olave, over 57.5. This isn't as much of a schematical deal, but it's a little bit more about situation and role. Bears are 5-point favorites. It's got one of the higher totals on the board at 47. Certainly bodes well for Olave, who's getting peppered with targets, coming off season highs, by the way, in receiving yards, 6-plus receptions and 10-plus targets in 5 of his first 6 games. The Bears have been a slot funnel, having allowed the second most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to the slot and the fifth fewest to the outside. Now, Olave does lead in slot snaps, but Rashid Shaheed and Juwan Johnson are just behind him. But given the game flow, Spencer Rattler's playing pretty well. I'm not very worried about any of the corners for the Bears. I think we can hit 58 yards. Just make one big play. Not making a lot of them, but, you know, he's due. Actually, maybe one or two, but he's due to connect on like a 20-plus yarder, and then we'll get home given the role. Again, massive target share and a lot of volume, all that. They can't really run the ball all that well. Next up, another situational and schematic type pick, Trey Tucker. Let's go over 40.5 receiving yards. KC allowing the eighth fewest passing yards per game, sixth fewest receiving yards per game to outside receivers. But J-Mo Williams came out of his funk last week. Jacoby Myers hasn't hit 39 yards in 3 straight, and I don't even know if he's going to play. I don't think Jenty will run either, and the Chiefs run the third highest rate of 2 high safeties, and Trey Tucker averages a very excellent 2.23 yards per route run against 2 high, and he should get the best individual matchup against Williams at corner. Also, Saquon Barkley, I know it's a little tough to back him, but 73.5 is a pretty good number. 69.5% of his rushing attempts have come on zone concepts, 7th most. The Vikings have been significantly more generous on those concepts, giving up 4.77 yards per carry. They're not good against the run. Barkley's going to get it done here. Troy Franklin, over 30.5. The Giants have been a pass funnel, no doubt about it. They play man coverage, which is good for Bo Nix, and his target share does Franklin's nearly doubles against man coverage, and the best on-paper matchup against the secondary, giving up the 8th most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game in the slot. Carson Wentz, revenge game, over 9.5 rushing yards. He's got 2-plus carries and 10-plus yards in his last 2 games. Eagles giving up the 9th most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to quarterbacks in the running game. Dart ran 13 times last week for 58 in this matchup. Bo Nix gunning for 24 the week before. Kyren Williams, let's go over 17.5 receiving yards. He dominated Blake Corum in the snap share and route share last week. He's got 2 or more targets in every game. He's hit this in 4 of his last 5. 10 grabs for 103 receiving in just the last 2 weeks on 12 targets. No Puka as well. And they give up the 7th most receiving yards per game to running backs. That leads us to the best bet for the week. And before we get to that, we will pop out 2 touchdown props real quick. I'm in on 2 obscure tutties, tight end tutties, Mason Taylor at plus 250, Harold Fannin at plus 340. Stay tuned to Prop Points, Money Moves with Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. But my best bet of the week, and I apologize, I ran out of time, but Jordan Addison, over 41.5 receiving yards. Quinyon Mitchell is playing. He's practicing. So he'll likely be on Justin Jefferson. So Addison gets that adorable, a Dory matchup often, and it's a tremendous schematic matchup for Jordan Addison. So he's going to make at least one play of over 20 yards. Then we only need another catch or two to get to 42 yards. Feel really good about that. Thanks for watching all week. Thanks to Michael Cohen for producing. We'll catch you Monday for another edition of Prop Points.